And turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 12, the Gospel of John. Okay, this dashing fellow is my good buddy Darren Roundson. Can you say hello?
Good evening. Hi, hello.
So happy you're here, man. Darren and I have been friends for, I don't know, 2-3 years, something like that. Darren is the lead pastor of a church called The Garden in Long Beach, California. That's right. And he's right down in kind of gritty, multi-ethnic, nothing like our city, urban Long Beach, which is fantastic. Yeah. And we're in this series called Receive the Holy Spirit. Wrapping it up over the next few weeks, should land the plane, I think, 2 weeks from now. And we have been learning over the last 3 or 4 months a ton about the Spirit of God. And Darren in the garden, I think you're a few years ahead of us, kind of in learning about the things of the Spirit. And he was in town this weekend, and I said, hey man, let's hang out, and then let's teach the scriptures together.
So great.
Here we are. We have a ton of ground to cover. So before we push off, would you maybe pray?
Yeah. Hey, yeah. Thanks for having me.
Of course, man. We're so happy
to be
here.
So great to be here with you and with you guys. You guys have a great leader, great teacher.
John Mark
is amazing. Yeah. Would you agree?
Mm-hmm. Listen.
Hey, can we do this real quick? I know you just got Bibles dropped off to you by the amazing ushers who ush, and we just want to...
You sound like an Uber move, just made a noun into a verb.
Like, what do they do, ush? Okay, can we pray? I'd love for you to just take the Bibles off your lap, open up your hands if you want. I really believe God wants to speak to us tonight. We just want to create some space in the short time that we have together to listen. So let's just pray together. Lord, we invite you. Jesus, we just proclaim you as the resurrected Lord, Messiah, and King. And we gather tonight in your name. And we ask that you would send your Holy Spirit this evening to fill us, refresh our souls, open our hearts and our minds to receive from you. I pray that you would speak to us through your word. As we speak tonight, I pray that we would be open to new possibilities of learning how to hear your voice. And we thank you for a gathering here in downtown Portland, Lord, to gather in your name. And we ask all of these things in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, amen.
Amen. Okay, to start things off, a story. Tuesday morning, I'm out on my run. And the day before, I had just bought a brand new pair of running shoes. And you gotta love that feeling of a new pair of shoes in general, right? But in particular, athletic shoes, crisp and clean and white on the bottom. And so I go out for my run Tuesday morning, and it's raining, shocking, Portland in spring. And I think, oh man, my brand new shoes. I mean, you kinda want them to stay nice for like longer than 5 minutes, right? So I go up for my run. I live in the Alphabet District, about a mile from here. And usually I run up in Forest Park where it's muddy. That was a non-option. Or right over Vaughan in the Industrial District. I run a lot. And so I was there in the Industrial District. I'm on my run, and I'm running in the middle or kind of off to the side of the street rather than on the sidewalk because the sidewalk is all like gross and nasty and muddy and like I got new kicks on. Like got to take care, right? So I'm out on my run, and here's the backstory. And you're thinking, is this going somewhere? Kind of. The night before was Monday night, and I was tired and worn out from Easter, which is fantastic. We had Easter at the Crystal Ballroom last week. It was a ton of fun. I was tired the following evening, and so I went out to see a movie by myself, get my introvert on and whatever. So I go to see this, like, just piece of cinematography that is Sundance quality. I mean, just it was a literary masterpiece on film. It's called Furious 7. And so I go to see this movie, and it's, first off, it's absolutely ridiculous, right? Like, when you put, like, Vin Diesel and The Rock and then Kurt Russell in the same movie, it's just,
Kurt Russell's
what? In it. You're like, what the heck, right?
Spoiler alert.
It's totally stupid, but it was a ton of fun to watch. And mindless, whatever. So, great movie, but there was no actual, like, sex scene in it, but the bikini count was, like, Vin Diesel high. Like, totally ridiculous.
And so as I'm... Is that a Portland thing? Bikini count?
Bikini count? I don't know. Can I say booty in a teaching? I don't know. That sounds like no. Thank you so much. Can you say that in Long Beach? I don't know. Here we respect women. Okay. So, all right. Anyway, so as...
Wow.
As I'm walking out of the theater post-film, or that's not really a film, it's a movie. There's a difference. As I'm walking out of the theater, I just, you know, just have this thought, and it's not brilliant, but Jean-Marc, you had no business watching that film. Like, you're a follower of Jesus, and you're a man, and on top of that, you're a husband and a father. Like, you had absolutely no business. Your body, all of your body, your mind, your heart, it's all the temple of God. God's spirit is in you. And you had, that was like totally outside of the kingdom of God. You had no business. So I go home, feel a little guilty, wake up the next morning, read my Bible extra long, you know, to kind of make up for it. And then I go out for my run. Okay, so we're back to the run. So I'm on my run, I'm in the street, kind of off to the left of the side of the street, and I'm running, and I come up to a busy intersection right in the north part of the industrial district. And there are cars parked along the side, and it's a blind corner and a busy street, and I think to myself, this is dangerous. Like, you really should get over onto the sidewalk to be safe. But there is a patch of, like, mud and grass and nastiness between me and the sidewalk. And I think, no, I'm going to risk it. Like, I'm going to risk death for my shoes, all right? So as I'm running, I just instantly have this thought come to mind. And the thought feels alien. It feels not self-generated. It feels from outside of myself. And it's one sentence. It's this. It's basically, Jean-Marc, you are so scared to soil your brand new shoes, but you have no problem dragging your renewed mind through the mud. End thought. Yeah. Ooh. And then a scripture comes to mind from chapter 12 of Paul's letter to the Romans. Therefore, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that's it. Mm. So then I have my, you know, moment of like death cab for cutie out of my iPad or whatever phone thing. And I repent there on the side of the street. But what was that? That was the voice of God, speaking directly into my mind's eye. And God does that a lot, not only for me, but for all followers of Jesus around the world and down through history. And in fact, what is the Bible? The Bible is essentially a collection of stories about men and women who would hear God's voice and then obey or disobey. And so much of life just comes down to this. You hear and you obey God's voice, which is why we've spent so much time lately, over the last 3 or 4 months, learning about God's voice and prophecy and listening prayer and how to follow the Spirit, learning about God's voice, because this is central, you guys. If we want to become the kind of people who join up with Jesus' kingdom work in urban Portland and around the world, then we have to learn how to hear God's voice and obey. Hear and obey. Now, to recap what we've been learning over the last while, basically this: God speaks, and God speaks to everyone, in particular to men and women who have the Spirit. Now, the question we want to take on tonight is, how does God speak? That's what we want to get into. How does God speak? We all know that he speaks through the Scriptures, right? What's open in your lap. But the Scriptures are generic, not specific, right? So the Scriptures can tell you what kind of man or woman to marry, but they can't tell you who, like option A or option B. Some of you are just, one option is more than enough, right? Fantastic. The Scriptures can tell you how to live in community, but they can't tell you what city to move to. The Scriptures can tell you what kind of job or career is in line with Jesus' vision for the kingdom of God, but they can't tell you to take job A or job B at this marketing firm or that one. So for that, we need the Spirit of God to speak. Now, there are all sorts of ways that God speaks, and we'll cover that in a few minutes. But I would argue the primary way that God speaks in the time that we live in now is directly into our heart and our mind, because the Spirit of God has direct access, immediate access, into your interior world. So usually, God's voice is direct deposit into your thinking and your feeling. You're out on your run, and there it is. Thought comes to your mind. Jean-Marc, you're so quick to whatever. But this raises all sorts of questions. Isn't that subjective? Yes. Isn't that open to interpretation? Uh-huh. Isn't that unclear? Yeah. And so is the Bible, by the way. Open interpretation, subjective, unclear. That's a whole other teaching. But wait a minute, what if it's not God's voice at all? What if it's wishful thinking? What if it's the voice of your father from your childhood? What if it's pop culture? What if it's guilt? What if it's shame? What if it's a demonic being? What if it's boom, boom, boom? Like, what if we get it wrong? And those are legitimate questions, every single one. You know, I think most of us, myself included, would rather just hear God speak audibly. So I don't know about you, but if I had to pick between the Holy Spirit speaking directly into my mind's eye and the audible voice of God every morning, I would pick the audible voice of God, right? In fact, I wish it was that way. Just yesterday, I was on my Sabbath, and I was in a time of listening prayer. Like, all the tips and techniques were down. My phone was off. My door was closed. I had a good night's sleep. My Bible was open. My hands were out in front of me, like, all of it. Go through the formula was there. And I needed God to speak to me about something that I was wrestling with this last week. And it was just crickets. Nothing. Or a thought here and a thought there. Is that from you? Or is that, I don't really know. That's just, I don't know. And at one point, I remember I started to get almost angry with God. Like, why don't you just speak? Like, I'm here. I want to hear your voice and I want to obey. Or at least theoretically, I think I do. Like, why don't you just speak? You ever feel that way? You ever get almost like an agitation? Like, come on, God, I just want to hear your voice. If you do, it's okay. Like, maybe it's not mature, but it's okay. Like, you're in good company. So to start off, Darren and I just want to spend a few minutes debunking the myth that if God were to speak in another way, let's say God were to speak audibly, full-on voice of God in your literal ears, that God would be easy to understand. That's not true. Let's dismantle that. First off, let's talk about the audible voice of God. So John chapter 12, here's a story I think is fascinating. John chapter 12, in verse 28, Jesus is praying, Father, glorify your name. And then, listen to this, a voice came from heaven. So here's the audible voice of God. I have glorified it and will glorify it again. End quote. One sentence, audible voice of God. Now the crowd that was there and heard it said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, this voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. Skip down to 34. The crowd spoke up. We have heard from the Torah that the Messiah will remain forever. So how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Wait, what? So here is the audible voice of God straight from heaven. But notice, some people think it's thunder. Other people think it's an angel. And nobody gets what God is saying. Right at the end, wait, what is this voice? Wait, who is the Son of Man? Wait, I missed it. People are still confused. Even the audible voice of God isn't crystal clear. Secondly, turn over to Luke chapter 1.
So Luke 1, and some of you are here like, I would love to hear God's voice. Maybe if he could just speak to me and give me an angel. Like an angel would show up and just have a conversation with me. Maybe then I could actually hear God's voice. Well, we have an illustration in the Bible, and it's not as clear. And what's great is in Luke 1, it opens up, and this is the first time God speaks in over 400 years. He's been silent up until this point, and he goes to this guy named Zechariah, and it says he was a priest who belonged to a priestly division. And it goes on in verse 5, and it continues on, and Zechariah is married to a woman who comes from the descendant of Aaron. He's in the temple, the holy place, the holy dwelling place where God himself dwells. He's in Jerusalem, God's holy city, so you have a priest who's performing at a worship service, basically, at the temple, in the holy city, and an angel of the Lord appears to him. And an angel begins to speak about his future. He begins to speak about his son, who is John the Baptist. And in verse 15 at the end, it says, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah. And he goes on, the angel gives this word to Zechariah, this holy man in a holy city in the holy temple. And his response to an angel is, hey, how can I be sure of this? I'm an old man and my wife is well on in her years. I have an old lady. And so all he can hear or all he can see as God speaks to him are the circumstances that face his life. And so even if an angel appears before you in a vision, you still might miss what's being said to you.
Now, another option is a vision. Turn over to Acts chapter 10, to the right a few pages, Acts chapter 10. A vision is essentially kind of like a dream, but it's when you are awake. You fall into a trance-like state, and there's a vision from God. For example, in Acts chapter 10, verse 9, about noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat, and while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven open and something like a large sheet. He's on the edge of a harbor. Think of a sail of a ship. Something like a large sheet or a large sail being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals as well as reptiles and birds. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." Now, Peter is Jewish, right? He's a Torah observant Jew. This food is not kosher, which is why he says, "Surely not, Lord. I have never eaten anything impure or unclean or not kosher." The voice spoke to him a second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." Now, this happened, this vision, three times. How many times? Three. And immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. All right, so here's a vision from God, straight up. We read he fell into a trance, not once, not twice, but three times. But listen to the next line, 17. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision. And the story goes on. So wait, he had a vision, full on, from God, three times, and afterwards he's like, "Yeah, I don't really get it. I'm still..." Here's a vision from God, and even that is ambiguous and unclear. He's still wondering about the meaning of the vision. And then finally,
in Matthew chapter 15, and we'll start in verse 10. Some of you are like, "Well, maybe if Jesus just showed up to and he was here and I was face to face with him, we'd have a conversation, I would understand what he's saying." And you read in Matthew 15, verse 10, it says this. This is a story of what one encounter with Jesus. Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen and understand. What goes into someone's mouth does not defile them, but what comes out of their mouth, that is what defiles them." Then the disciples came to him and asked, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this?" He replied, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots. Leave them. They are blind guides. If the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit." And Peter said, "Explain the parable to us." And Jesus says, "Are you still so dull?" All throughout Scripture, you see the disciples who are face-to-face with Jesus, having ongoing conversations. They are constantly missing the point. They don't understand, and they get it wrong over and over again. In the Gospel of Mark, you see it all the time. And it's almost like a theme throughout the Gospel of Mark. And what you see is that even if Jesus was here speaking to us now, he would speak in parables and stories like he did in the Scriptures. People didn't understand what he was actually saying when he was with them. It was like cryptic language. And so even if Jesus was here on earth in the flesh and his disciples were literally sitting at his feet, they would still be confused half the time.
The fact is that God is just not always easy to understand. Sometimes he is. Sometimes you know exactly what God is saying to you, like for sure. But a lot of the time it's unclear, it's ambiguous, it's fuzzy. At the end, you're left still confused. And here's the thing, God is God. He could have made it easier to understand his voice, right? He could have set up, at least post Steve Jobs, he could have set up like FaceTime with you every morning, 7:30 a.m., right? If you're not a morning person, like 9, whatever. Like over breakfast, like you, your granola, your almond milk, FaceTime with Jesus, you know. "Hey, good morning, Darren. I love you. You look sharp. Your haircut's so fantastic. Jeez, CrossFit so looks sweet. Great on you. Here's what I want you to do. These three things today. Boom, boom, boom. Don't forget this. And great, let's meet back here at 8 p.m. after dinner tonight to, you know, say goodnight or whatever." God, wow, God bless you. God could have set it up that way, but he didn't. Why not? I'm not exactly sure. You know, our theory is that what God wants from you and what God wants from me in the end is relationship. God is after a love-like, even intimacy with you. And the heart of every good relationship is conversation, right? I have a wife. Darren is married too, sadly. Moving on. But I have a wife, and
thanks,
I love to be with my wife, and I love date night, and I love to go to a yoga class in the morning with her, and I love to have sex with her. I love all of that. But the highlight of my relationship with my wife is a good conversation. Mm. Open, honest, transparent, interesting. The high points of my marriage have all been over a conversation. And so this is what God wants from you. God wants relationship with you, not just faith, not just, you know, dogma, not just action for whatever justice. All of that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. But what God wants from you more than anything is to live in relationship. And that means conversation, which, you know, as we bring all of that to bear on just kind of the ambiguity around God's voice, I think that what God is after is this intimate, kind of almost romantic-like relationship. And in that, there's something about the chase that God has value for. Something about, in particular, if you're dating somebody right now, you know, it's like first few months of dating, there's all this like mystery and allure, and then later it's like, you're late, where are you? You know, but early on, there's all this mystery and allure, and what is she actually saying? Because it's never what she's saying. What is she actually saying? And what is he after? And there's all this like back and forth, and there's this romantic even tension in the air. And this, I wonder if there's something like that with God. God just seems to value the chase, the search. We read all through the scriptures about seeking God. Mm. At one point, the prophet Jeremiah writes, if you seek me, then you will find me if you search for me with all of your heart. Mm. So there's something about this. God just wants you to search and to chase and to pursue as he does that for you in the Spirit of God. But that said, right, God does speak. Even if it's not always crystal clear, God does speak. Now, we'll fly through this, but here's a list of ways that God speaks. Darren, why don't you start it off?
The most obvious one is God speaks through Jesus, that Jesus is the Word of God. Scripture reveals this, that in John 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Hebrews 1 says, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. You see, Jesus is the revelation of God.
Secondly, God speaks through Scripture. So Scripture is also called the Word of God. Not usually. Usually that word, word means Jesus, or it means the message of the kingdom. But Scripture is called the Word of God. And most of what we need to know from God is right in your lap right now, or on your phone. It's in the Scriptures. Everything we need to know about who God is, about who we are, about the story that we find ourselves in, where we come from, where human history is going, ethics, right, wrong, human sexuality, marriage, relationships, the way of Jesus, all of that is right in front of you. So if you want to start to hear God's voice, kind of step one is you wake up tomorrow morning, you open the Scriptures, and you read. Third,
creation. God speaks through creation. Romans chapter 1 says, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. When Paul writes this, he's basically saying, look, nature, earth, stars, the forest, which we don't have in Southern California,
but
or trees for that matter, plants, oceans, we do have the beach, and our beach has sand on it, and it's amazing.
and people without like a down jacket on
it. That's so true, yes. Yeah. I don't have anything that's waterproof, just so you know. I had to buy something to come up here that was waterproof. Anyways, so sunsets and clear skies. God speaks through all of those things to us, through creation. It's like you can see God's fingerprints in creation.
Another way that God speaks to you and I is through prophecy, which is just a way of saying when God speaks to you through somebody else, through another person. So around here, at least in the culture in Bridgetown, somebody comes up to you and says, hey, you know, I was praying the other day and you came to mind and I had this word or I had this phrase or I had this scripture that came to mind for you, or I just had this picture in my mind's eye, or, you know, I have this sense, is this true of you or not, or whatever, however it sounds. That's when God speaks to you through somebody else. We call that prophecy, and we so badly want to grow in this manifestation of the Spirit as a church. We dream of becoming the kind of church where you can't go to church or your missional community dinner, family night, or to a prayer gathering without prophecy active and alive.
So good. The other way God speaks is through dreams and visions. And these are natural ways that God has access to your mind, even when you're asleep. I was talking to somebody at the first service, and they were sharing that they always have dreams. And how do they grow in discerning whether or not God's speaking to them in a dream? And I just said, well, it takes time, and you write down every dream you have, because God will speak to you in any way he possibly can. And so if you're asleep and you have these vibrant dreams, that's one way that God might speak to you. Or if you like to daydream, that might be a way that God speaks to you. But either way, the point is that God does speak through those things, through those ways, and it's our job to discern whether it's his voice or something else.
Another way that God speaks is through angels. So, you know, the writer of Hebrews in the New Testament, at one point says that many of us have entertained angels without knowing it, right? So in pop culture, an angel is like a 6'2" blonde Swedish model with a 10-foot, you know, wingspan.
Yeah.
And just to clarify, that's not at all from the scriptures at all. So in the scriptures, often an angel shows up as an apparition of a human being and people don't even know it's an angel. And that's not like a pickup line, guys. Like, are you really, like, are you human? Are you an angel before? Like, that's, wow. No, not at all right? And, but that's how it works. I mean, the word angel is angelos in Greek, and it just means messenger. It's a messenger from God. I never had this happen to me, but it is one of the ways that God speaks.
And the other way that God might speak is through audible voices, and we see this in the scripture, that God called Moses from a burning bush. It was a voice that he heard physically and tangibly, and that's one way that God might speak to some of you.
Yeah, another one is circumstances. Now, this one's really tricky, so let's take a minute on it. You know, in church language, open doors or closed doors can be a way that God is speaking to you. But the caveat, there's like 14 of them, is that, you know, sometimes a closed door is from God. This is God's way of saying, no, this is not what I want for your life. Sometimes it's not at all. There are other wills at play on planet Earth other than God's. So it might be human, it might be spiritual, it might be a demonic being who is at war with God's will over your life. And so you need discernment to know, do I like walk away and go down another path, or do I wait, it's the right thing but the wrong time, or do I like shove, put my shoulder into it, you know, or barge through the door or whatever. And the same is true with an open door, an opportunity. An opportunity might be from God. It might be that job, that relationship, that chance to move to another city might be God speaking to you, or it might be full-on temptation from the enemy to walk away from what God has for you. So this one takes it's tricky. It takes a lot of discernment and wisdom and community, people around you. But often God speaks through what is actually around you, through your circumstances.
And sometimes God will speak to us through a gut feeling or a sense.
Yeah.
Or another word might be intuition. And there's all sorts of language to describe this. When you hear, I think this is for many people, like probably the primary way God might speak to you is that you walk into a room and you don't have peace about something, or there's a situation that you don't have peace, or you do have peace. You sense God's leading you somewhere, and it's just this feeling. You can't really articulate it with like clear pictures or words, but there's a feeling you have that kind of guides and leads you. This is one way that God might speak to you.
And then finally is listening prayer. When God speaks directly into your heart, your mind, into your thought life, into your feeling, into the even sensations in your body. And as we said before, this, in my opinion, is the primary way that, at least for most of you, God speaks. Now, the point here is that God speaks, right? And he speaks in a ton of different ways. There's no formula. You'll learn your own kind of prayer alphabet, how God speaks over you based on your personality. Are you more visual? Are you more auditory? Are you outside all the time? Are you not? Do you live in the city? Like, whatever. You'll learn how God speaks to you. The point here is that God speaks in a ton of different ways. Now, the follow-up question that we have to ask before we move on is, all right, how do we know if it's God speaking? Right, so a thought comes to mind, or an impression, or whatever. How do we know if it's God, or wishful thinking, or the voice of your mom from your childhood, or your grandma, or a demonic being? Like, how do we know, or guilt, or shame? How do we know if it's God's voice? The writer John tells us, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether or not they are from God. So I'm reading this crazy book right now by John Krakauer. I'm sure some of you have read his work. He's really smart. And he has a book out called Under the Banner of Heaven, which is about the history of Mormonism, in particular Mormon fundamentalism, and its violent past. And he writes, he opens his book with this just really grotesque story about the murder of this woman when I was a kid in the 80s, Brenda Lafferty, and her infant child by her two brother-in-laws. Her brother-in-laws, Dan and Ron, believe that they heard the voice of God telling them to murder their sister-in-law and their niece, and how to murder them. And it's really very violent and gross. And it was interesting, they ended up sentenced to death by the court in Utah because it was ruled they were not remotely insane. It was not psychosis. They were fully aware, fully in tune, sound mind, intelligent thinking men who to this day claim, no, we heard God say, kill them, and this is how you kill them. Now, personally, I don't doubt that they heard a voice saying to do that heinous, grotesque act. But that was not the voice of God. That was not the voice of the Spirit of God. That was the voice, my guess is, I don't know, but of another demonic spirit that was violent and cruel and malignant. So we have to know, that's an extreme example, obviously, but we have to know, all right, who is it that's speaking? And where is this voice, this thought, this sensation, this intuition, where is it coming from? So just two questions that I usually ask myself. One is, does it line up with Scripture? So God will never contradict himself. He'll never tell you it's okay to sleep with your boyfriend or girlfriend, even though hundreds of people have said, God told me. No, I'm pretty sure you're wrong. God will never tell you to cheat on your taxes. God will never tell you to murder your niece, right? Because that is in direct, full-on, black-and-white conflict with the teachings of Jesus, the writings of both the Old and the New Testament. So this is yet another reason that we need to saturate ourselves in the Scriptures or in the story of God. We need to cultivate scriptural knowledge where we know this book or this library backwards and forwards. We read it daily. We memorize it. We soak it in. We meditate on it. And we need to cultivate a scriptural imagination where we even think in the language and words and phrases and imagery and meta-narrative of Scripture itself. And then secondly, I always ask, does it sound like Jesus? So I love Jesus in the Gospel of John put it this way, quote, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. That can be translated, my sheep recognize my voice. So just case study. Everybody close your eyes right now, really fast, all of you. Who's speaking right now, John Mark or Darren? How do you know it's John Mark and not Darren? I just talked about myself in third person, sorry. How do you know it's me and not Darren? Yeah, you know my voice. Okay, you can open your eyes. I'm one of your pastors, and so you know my voice. Right, you can pick out, Darren, myself, you, we can pick out the voice of a wife or a husband or a boyfriend or a family member or a close friend over the cacophony of a crowd because you know people that you're in relationship with. And the same is true with God. As you grow in your relationship with God, in particular with the Spirit of God, over time you learn to pick out Jesus' voice and it becomes clearer and clearer and clearer as you progress, as you mature. Oh, yeah, that's the voice of Jesus.
Now, before we talk about ways that we can grow in hearing God's voice, I just want to take a few moments to talk about some of the reasons we don't hear God's voice.
Yeah.
So, for example, the first thing I've experienced dealing with people as they try to learn to hear God's voice in a community, one of the primary reasons I think that people face an obstacle is that we aren't hearing him speak because we have an inaccurate or dysfunctional view of God.
Yeah.
So, we carry all sorts of inaccuracies or dysfunctions in our relationship with God. And so if you're here and you are told in this setting to listen for God's voice and you think that God is angry. Now, these are oversimplifications, categories that we put God in. But if you think that God's angry with you or that God, in order to actually have access to God, you actually have to read your Bible more. And like John Mark said, after you sin, you just got to go and you got to start earning your way to God. If you carry that view of God, or if you have a view of God where you actually don't believe he's interested in you, that he's like an absentee landlord. As long as you show up to church once in a while, you know, pay a check here and there to the church, then everything's okay. If you carry these dysfunctional views with God, you're not actually going to hear the voice of a loving father. So when I talk to people about listening for God's voice, I ask the question first, do you believe that God not only loves you, but he likes you? Like, picture this, and this is silly, but picture this. You put on this shirt, and on the shirt it says, God loves you, but I'm his favorite.
I'm sure somebody has made that
so,
t-shirt.
I have one. So, but if you don't believe that about you, then you have a dysfunctional view of God. Because this is what the author of John thinks of himself when it comes to writing the gospel, is that God loves him, that he was the favorite. And I think that's the question, is so we carry these dysfunctional views of God, and that hinders our ability to actually hear God's voice in our everyday, ordinary life, and that's where it matters. And so do you believe that God loves you? Do you believe he desires to speak to you? If yes, I agree that he speaks. Do you believe he desires to communicate with you? And if the answer is no, then you're not going to hear his voice. But if it's yes, then you start learning to get rid of those dysfunctions. The second reason, really two here, are in our culture, in our society, is that we're too busy and we're too distracted to hear his voice. I mean, just look at your calendar and see how full it is for some of you. I think about you go from one appointment to another, or you go from class to another class. You go to work, to working out, or running, or hanging out with friends. We fill our days with all sorts of stuff, and our nights with all sorts of stuff. So we actually don't create space in our calendar, in our life, to listen. Or even worse, I think, especially for the millennial generation, is that we're too distracted. We don't go anywhere without checking in, checking our phones, looking at social media, having our phones, or watching movies. Netflix is the curse of our generation as well, because we can just binge. And it's nothing wrong with these things per se, although some of it is bad, as John Mark said, Furious 7. But maybe that was just poor taste in movies. But we'll forgive you for that. And we respect women in Long Beach. I'm just letting you know. We do respect women.
Sure you do.
In Long Beach. And there is way more drama in Portland, PDX, than in the LBC. But anyways, we are home of Snoop Dogg. But what was I saying? The point is that we have all sorts of noise and we actually can't hear the voice of God. And now I have that song stuck in my head. So much drama in the LBC. It's kind of hard being Snoop D-O-double-G. But somehow, some way, I keep coming up with funky. Okay, we're going to stop. The third reason is we don't ask. We don't ask. I mean, I can't tell you how many people are like, I just want to hear God's voice. I'm like, have you actually asked to hear God's voice? Have you quieted yourself? Have you gone into a locked room or whatever it is that you need to do and just sat there and listened and asked God to speak to you? So start there. Open up the word, and he's already speaking to you through that, and then just wait and listen. And then the fourth thing is, and this is a little tricky, but it's because we don't obey. We don't hear his voice because we're not aligning ourselves with God's way of life. Now, this comes in all sorts of kind of ways. This comes out in all sorts of ways. There's tons of implications for this. Like, for example, maybe God has already spoken to you at some point in your life, and it's very specific, and you heard his voice. And you didn't do anything about it. You know, he was calling you to, he was inviting you into something, and you knew what you were supposed to do. Your community affirmed it, and you just kept going and living. And and you're asking God, speak to me now. And he's like, I already told you. Go back and do what I said. That's one way that he'll speak. We got to learn to align ourselves with him, to remain in the vine. But also, when I talk about obedience, I want you to hear this, that sometimes when I teach people, when I'm in a context where I'm talking to people pastorally, I ask, hey, you know, are you hearing anything? What are you hearing if you silence your soul and just listen to God? Oftentimes, once they clear out all the voices in their head, they experience this sense of sin kind of bubbles up. The things that come into their mind are the things that ways that they've disobeyed God. And they know in their hearts that this thing is wrong, but they've kind of participated in that destruction. Does that make sense? So sin kind of bubbles up, and that's all they can hear. Now, what you need to know is Scripture says that the Holy Spirit comes to convict us of our sin. And so what I say to people is, man, that's a great thing. God is speaking to you. Do something about that in your life. Be obedient with what he's revealing to you. And if it's a sin issue, that's not a big deal, because what he wants you to do is repent. So you know what to do. And that's not a scary thing. You just kind of change directions. You say, thank you, God, for forgiving me. And you go on living your life, recognizing that he did speak something into your life, and now you walk in obedience. And it's not as, like just the other day, I was at the airport, and it was early in the morning, and my son was just cranky, and he was sick all night, and it was rough to get him in the airport. And this guy was being kind of rude to me, and he was telling me to go here, and then I went there, and he told me to go here, and I went there, and he told me to go to another place. I'm like, seriously? Like, can we just check out here? And I was kind of rude to him, and my wife said, hey, you were rude to him. And so what did I do? I went back, and I had to apologize. That's what we do with sin. We change directions. We go back, and we deal with it. But we have to learn to walk in obedience with God, and we will learn to hear his voice more and more when we obey.
So to come at it kind of next from the other direction, that was four reasons we don't hear God's voice. Now let's flip it and talk about four ways to grow in hearing God's voice. And the first is just to spend a lot of time in the scriptures and in prayer. I would shoot for every single day. Set aside time, and if you're too busy for that, then you're too busy. Set aside, and by the way, we're only too busy for the things that are not important to us. So set aside time every single day to open the scriptures and not just read through it really fast and close it and move on, check, I'm done, but to actually sit and listen and meditate and let it soak in to your system. And then on top of that, pray. And whenever you pray, always listen. So always remember, prayer is a two-way street. You know those people that are like really socially awkward, kind of like me, and you get into a conversation and all they do is talk and they don't listen or ask questions, like, and then they keep talking and then and you try to like jet in and it doesn't happen and it's just this one-sided. You know those people? Some of you are like, wait, I am that person. That's not okay. No, that's not okay. That's why you have no friends. So, sorry.
Oh,
but like,
man.
Sometimes I think that that was mean. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I said sorry.
Great.
I turn around. I
repent, man.
That was. Sometimes that's our prayer life. That's our relationship with God.
Good.
It's this, yeah, good morning, God. Oh, yeah. Cool. So, boom, 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 boom. And I need this. And great. Yeah, and you're awesome. And so moving on. And that's how we pray to God.
Yeah.
So whenever you pray, always listen. So this is really easy for me. I mean, during the day, but in particular in the morning, I end my time in the scriptures. I close my Bible and I have a little pad of paper and a pen right next to me. And I put my hands in front of me and I just wait for a minute and I listen. And then usually two times during the day, I just schedule it into my calendar. I have a lot of meetings and I'm busy, but I just schedule into my calendar, which means I'm important. I just schedule into my calendar two 10-minute spots to just slip outside, go for a quick walk, clear my head, phone away. Just, God, is there anything you want to say to me today? Is there anything you want to circle my mind around to? It's that easy. Like, just spend a lot of time in the scriptures and in prayer. Secondly, pay attention. So as Darren said so well, we're just too busy and we're just too distracted and go, life and the mess and the chaos and the noise and the busyness of the Apple Watch generation, right, which is officially the first Apple product I will hopefully never own. No way. But learning to pay attention. I've heard it said that 80% of prophecy is noticing.
Yeah.
It's just learning to clear your head, clear all the distraction and the busyness, take a deep breath once in a while, slow down, open your eyes and see, open your ears and hear, and pay attention to God's voice all around you. Next is just ask, like Darren said.
Jerry?
Just ask. I don't know.
Did you say Jerry?
No, I said Gerald. But
Gerald?
I stopped it. Your name's not Gerald. Your name's Darren.
Gerald. It's cool,
thanks,
Jason.
For just making fun of me up there.
No, you're
come
awesome.
On, man.
I'm sorry.
This
you're
is
amazing.
Like our friendship is over. So,
what?
As Darren said so well, like we just need to ask God. Like come to a moment and just say, God, I need you to speak. Would you speak over me now? Here I am. I'm waiting. And then finally, obey. Like do what, when God speaks to you, it's because he wants you to do something. So whatever it is, do what God tells you to do. And just like, warning, heads up, usually God will call you to step outside of your comfort zone. So in particular in America and the West, we value safety and security and health insurance and life insurance and auto insurance and home insurance and whatever else, and renters and whatever it is, insurance and IRA and savings account, all this stuff. We want to just like cushion our life from tragedy and suffering and all of that. But what God wants to do is push you out into the kingdom of God. And so usually God, when he speaks to you, will call you to step out in faith and to even risk. And so what does it look like for you to obey? Now to wrap up, Darren, would you maybe just tell a story about kind of what this looks like in everyday life?
So I lead a community group, which is like your missional community. And here, our church is very similar. We organize around kind of the midweek stuff. And in our community group, we have a ton of people in our group. And every month, once a month, we serve in a low-income neighborhood in downtown Long Beach. And we provide free laundry for the neighborhood. People do this all the time. It's called Laundry Love. It's so much fun. And the people that come out, it ranges from 30 people from the neighborhood to 100 people. And it's just like a party when we do this. And we show up, we provide free laundry, we talk to people, we take their laundry hostage so we can talk to them. They can't go anywhere. So we'll spend time talking about Jesus and all sorts of stuff. And it's so much fun. We bring Chick-fil-A, which you guys don't have here, and some people...
So gross. Don't you dare cheer. I just rebuke that spirit. This church is holy, Darren. Like, don't face it.
So,
no, you don't respect women or chickens. Come on. Sorry, but not that they're unequal. But it,
wow.
Back to your story.
Well, so anyways, we bring Chick-fil-A, and it's contextual, which we're about in our environment, and it's so much fun. And here's the thing. So just so you know, we have a rule in our church. We don't tell stories that are older than a week because we believe we should expect God to do something every single week. And this is an old story, so I'm breaking my rule. It was a few months ago. I have a story that's 3 weeks ago old, but I haven't done Laundry Love in a while. But this particular story is amazing. I was hanging out with this lady. She was talking to me, and she was clearly not a Christian. She was making sure that I knew she was not a Christian, that she believed in astrology, and that she believes that if as long as you're a kind and good person, you'll go to whatever's next, which a lot of people believe in those things. So we were talking, and it was a great time. She was open. I had two new Christians with me. I was teaching them how to share their faith and talk to people about their new faith, and it was great. We were just enjoying the time. And after about like 20 minutes, half hour, I was finishing up talking to her, and there's all this stuff happening. Chick-fil-A is being enjoyed because it's enjoyable. And
sin is going on.
Sin, yes. It's all about grace. Anyways, and I'm like, this is, by the way, the number one way I've seen people come to faith when we're on the streets or when we're just enjoying interactions with people. I ask this question. It's so frightening. I just say, hey, what's one thing that I could pray for? And she said, hey, will you pray for my daughter? She's in a lot of conflict. I'm like, great, we're gonna just pray right now. And so I brought these two new Christians. We lay hands. We start praying. I'm praying out loud for her daughter. And I don't pray for anything else. But as I'm praying, I sense something else is going on. And what I felt was that, what I would call, this is a word of knowledge. I just felt, and it was very fuzzy, that something happened to her when she was a child and that nobody believed her. And that impacted the rest of her life. And so I have this weird thought in my head, and I finish praying, and new Christians, this girl, Chick-fil-A, and I say to her, this is going to sound strange, but I just feel that something happened to you when you were a child. Is this true? And that nobody believed you, and that impacted the rest of your life. And before I could finish even saying what I heard, she just starts crying. She starts weeping. And she says, how did you know? And in that moment, something brilliant came out of my mouth that wasn't from me. I said, I didn't know, but Jesus knows, and he wants to know you. And we began to pray. And we began to pray for healing for that specific thing that was very vulnerable for her. She's crying in the laundromat. It was just absolute chaos. And as she's holding me, I say, do you want to confess Jesus as your Lord? And she does the sinner's prayer, the Lord's prayer right there, and accepts Jesus in the laundromat right there while all this is going on. And the reason I share the story is because of a few things. Number one, there's so much power in learning how to hear God's voice. Yeah. It's not just for the gatherings. Right? It's the ministry of Jesus is to set people free. And we ought to take it to the streets, take it to the workplaces, take it to the coffee shops, wherever you go. If you listen to God's voice, he will empower you to do what is completely ordinary as a Christian, and that is to continue to do what Jesus is always and will continue to do. Amen. Now I'm back in Long Beach. And that's the point, is that we can learn, no matter who you are, if you follow Jesus, to hear his voice in totally ordinary ways. And sometimes it's words of knowledge, and sometimes it's in a worship gathering, and sometimes it's on the streets, sometimes it's at a laundromat, and sometimes it's with a Chick-fil-A sandwich.
Oh, man. So other than the Chick-fil-A heresy, this is so the kind of community that we want to become. Mm. We want to grow into the kind of people that regularly, and it's normal and ordinary, we hear God's voice and we obey.
Yeah.
We want to grow into the kind of church where prophecy is alive and active, where basically all of our life in a nutshell is we go through life, we listen and obey,
so good.
We listen and obey. So to wrap up, would you just maybe stand with me, clear off your lap, and let's just move into a time of listening prayer. And we'll do it right here and right now, all right? So this is not rocket science. You don't have to work yourself up to a frenzy. This is really down to earth. It's not complex. It's simple. So for most of you, this is kind of old hat. But if you're new to Jesus, if you're new to the church, then we'll just really fast walk you through the how. And there's no formula, but the how to listen to God's voice. So usually I'll just close my eyes. You don't have to, but just if you want to kind of, I don't know, free your mind from distraction. And I'll usually take a deep breath, just kind of calm my being. If you want to put your hands out open in front of you, that's great. That's just a way of kind of praying with your body. I do that a lot, just to kind of posture your body to receive from the Spirit of God, just a way of saying with your body, God, I'm waiting. And then take a minute and just ask, God, would you speak to me? And maybe it's something specifically. God, would you speak to me about this, that, or the other? Or maybe it's, God, is there anything that you want me to know right now? Maybe it's about you, maybe it's about somebody else, maybe it's for the church. And usually, not always, but usually it's just the first thing that comes into your mind. As you quiet your soul and your mind and your body, usually what comes to mind is a word or a phrase or a sentence, or a lot of the time it's a scripture, probably most of the time, or an image in your mind's eye, a picture, or maybe kind of almost like a short film feels kind of like a memory in your mind's eye, or maybe it's a sensation in your body or your gut. Whatever it is, just create space, ask, quiet, and just take a few minutes and listen to God.